looking at Psalm 4.
We're looking at Psalm 4 this evening, so let us turn there, and I shall read the entire psalm to you. Psalm 4, to the chief musician on Neginoth, a psalm of David. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increase. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Amen. Now, Psalm 4, obviously, chronologically, follows Psalm 3. And they're both related. Now, Psalm 4 gives us valuable instruction, very, very valuable instruction on how to deal with disappointment and how to deal with people problems. You know, when others upset us, betray us, trouble us, slander us, hurt us, etc., what are we to do? How are we to think? How are we to react? Now, firstly, we see the controlled thoughts that go through the mind of a godly man toward his enemies. So that's the first thing that we'll see. Secondly, we will see the surrendered words that are spoken by a hurt man to his own soul. So what are the thoughts that he has towards his enemies, and what are his own surrendered words that he speaks to himself? Now, before we go to these points, we want to see some background. As I said, Psalm 4 follows Psalm 3, and many commentators believe that they were written in conjunction with one another during the time when David fled from Absalom. If you take a look at Psalm 3, that's the title, right? When David fled from Absalom. Now, last week, we saw how David, when he was fleeing, was fleeing away weeping, and he was fleeing away barefooted because his son Absalom was rising up to kill him and to take over his kingdom. Now, while the title of Psalm 3 tells us when it was written, the title of Psalm 4 does not. But the reason why we know that they are related is because of certain indications in Psalm 4 and how it relates to that which is found in Psalm 3. And one indication is David's distress. The distress that is mentioned in Psalm, that is seen in Psalm 3, is similarly expressed in Psalm 4. And another indication is seen in his tone, the way he is speaking in verses 2 and 3 of Psalm 4. It's kind of like a father disciplining his rebellious son and his friends. Right? The way David was speaking to the rebellious people, it's as if he's speaking to Absalom. And another indication is seen in verse 2 itself. He talks about how his honor and his reputation are being shamed. And we know that that was what Absalom was doing. Absalom came to take over his father's throne, and he kind of deceived the people into giving their loyalty to him. Right? And so he basically shamed David. Now Absalom, of course, was not the only one. If you recall, when David was fleeing away from Jerusalem, there was one man who came and spoke evil words to David. He was standing on the ridge following David, kicking stones at David. Remember who that was? Shimei, right? And you see that in 2 Samuel 16, how David's reputation was suffering. Shimei was calling him a bloody man, a man of blood, how you have taken over Saul's reign, and now as a result of what you have done, you know, you're getting your just rewards, right? Now we will talk more about Shimei when we come to Psalm 7. That's when Shimei is addressed, and how David himself asks God for vindication. But here in Psalm 4, it is a continuation of David's distress, his betrayal, his sadness towards what his son had done to him. Now, we can imagine a lot of people betraying us, but our own children, our own family? How did David deal with it? Now, last week we considered Psalm 3 and we saw how he was in great distress. But even in his distress, he looked to God. Remember, we sang Psalm 3 and we even sang it on Sunday. You remember what David was praying and saying? You know, in a paraphrase, God, you slap my enemies and you knock their teeth out, right? He was really, really angry. But in Psalm 4, you see he has changed a bit. You see, he has dealt with his anger. He has gained greater self-control. So firstly, we see here his controlled thoughts, or the controlled thoughts that go through the mind of a godly man toward his enemies. You know, often when we get angry, we think a lot of ill towards our enemies. But once his mind has been redeemed, what is it like? Well, in verse 1, we see David firstly appealing to God for help, to enlarge or to relieve him of his distress. Now, most of us, when we are falsely accused, when our reputation is assaulted, we are quick to snap back at our accuser, or we may spread a lie about someone so that we won't look so bad. But what did David do? He turned to God. That's the first thing that he did. He asked God to, now the word there in verse 1 is enlarge, but what it really means is relieve. Relieve me, right, in my time of distress. Compare this to Psalm 3, right? He was now willing to control his thoughts, right? Back then he wanted to knock out teeth, he wanted to slap faces. But he is very different here. And in verse 2, his tone is very different. And these are his words. If he could actually speak to Absalom, these are the words that he would have used to instruct Absalom in verse 2. And it reads, "O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing?" In other words, how long will you dirty my reputation? How long will you speak lies? Now Absalom, to achieve what he had done, right, to take over this nation, he had to speak a lot of lies, right? If you take a look at 2 Samuel 15, this was the time when Absalom was trying to take over his father's throne already. If you recall, there was one man who came to Jerusalem and he wanted to have his dispute settled, right? Now take a look at 2 Samuel 15. 2 Samuel. And you see here in verse 2, "And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate, and it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, Then Absalom called unto him and said, Of what city art thou? And he said, Thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, See, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee. What was Absalom saying? All these men were coming to the city to seek counsel from the king and the king's men. Absalom here, knowing full well that the king did have people to look after all these other people who came for help, he said, Too bad. There's no one who can help you. The king's so lousy. He didn't get his deputies to help you. But I can help you. Right? He said in verse 4, Oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. Right? And it so happened that when people came, he quickly went to help them. He put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And verse 6 says, And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. So this is what David was talking to Absalom about. He was saying, How long will you do this? How long will you speak lies? Right? That's what leasing meant. So David here was lamenting as a father would how long his son would continue in this. But what you notice here is that David doesn't really get sinfully angry in the psalm. He turns to God. He acknowledges in verse 3 that God will preserve the godly and will hear David when he cries out to God. And what he says is that, you know, the ungodly have a disaster waiting for them, but the godly will have a great reward. And that's why David was so confident that God would hear him. He was no longer in the same distress that he was in Psalm 3, because whatever was going on, he knew that God would eventually override and overrule, you know, according to his will. You know, when we have this understanding of what God does, there will be peace. Like you see in the life of David at this point, there was peace. Now, several years ago, apparently according to a story, a submarine was being tested for its seaworthiness. So it was submerged all the way down to the bottom, and it had to spend an entire night there, right? So along with the submarine captain, all the men were there at the bottom of the ocean. Then when they finally emerged, right, and they went back to shore, the admiral asked him, Boy, how did you manage to survive the storm? And the captain said of the submarine, What storm? Right? What storm? He didn't experience a storm because there's a part of the ocean when you go all the way down called the cushion of the sea. So whatever tossing waves would be up there, down there, they would never experience it. So if we understand who God is and his judgments and his care, we can experience this kind of peace. It's very opposite, you know, from what we frequently experience when there's opposition, distress. You know, we're like chickens without heads. You know, that's what we normally are, right? But here you see David being as calm as he was, and his sanctified thoughts, right, to those who would oppose him, because he was no longer like what he was in Psalm 3. But secondly, we see the surrendered words that are spoken by David, that are spoken by a hurt man to his own soul. Now, after addressing his enemies, David turns and talks to himself. And you see this in verses 4 and 5. He calms himself before the Lord. Now, in verse 4, it says, Stand in awe and sin not. Now, literally, stand in awe means a great shock or anger. Alright? Now, you guys know Ephesians 4:26, right? What is Ephesians 4:26? Be angry and sin not, huh? That's a quotation from here. So when we understand, how we understand this verse is be angry and sin not. Right? So with all the ungodliness around David, and especially by his own son, David had reason, you could say, to be angry, but he had no reason to sin. He reminded himself not to sin in anger, but instead to find solace in meditation before the Lord. Right? He wanted to, according to that verse, commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. That is poetic language basically for look at yourself, look at your own heart, meditate upon yourself on your bed and be still. And we know that the Christian practice of meditation is not to empty your minds, but what is it? It's to fill your minds. And very often what we have to do is we have to fill our minds with God's word to flush out whatever else is in our mind. You know, like the headless chicken, we're not really headless, but there are a lot of things that go on in our heads. We need to meditate on the word of God to flush those things out. It's not to fill our minds with anger, right, with thoughts of our own anger, but to fill our minds with the thoughts of God. And that's why the Bible tells us, Proverbs 4:23, right, what does it say? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now the word keep is literally the word guard. Now, who do you guard? Criminals, right? Prisoners. So the mind is like a criminal wanting to get out. It is sinful, you know, it is violence, and so we have to guard it with all diligence, with all strength. For out of it are the issues of life. You know this word issue? What does it mean? Okay, Old English, when you have a child, that is your issue, right? The word here is, in the Hebrew, it speaks about the tributaries of a river. If the source is poisoned, if this is poisoned, it will spread, it will grow, and it will give birth, right, to everything else which is poisonous. So here David recognized that if he did not meditate, boy, his mind would run wild. Okay? Now Warren Wiersbe has said this. He said the ability to calm your soul and wait before God is one of the most difficult things in the Christian life. The old nature is restless. The world around us is frantically in a hurry. But he says this, but a restless heart usually leads to a reckless life. David didn't guard himself. If he didn't calm himself down, if he did not surrender himself to God, he would have certainly be overcome by his anger. Now, James 1:19-21 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, there's an obvious connection here. Between the advice of James to New Testament Christians and the advice of David to the Old Testament saints. Well, you know, we believe that David's words are equally applicable to us. So unresolved distress and anger will destroy you no matter who you are. Sin causes anguish. And if David here harbored sin in his heart and yet prayed to God to remove his distress, It would never happen. It would never happen except by repentance first. Now that's why I really appreciate the Psalms, because, you know, as I wrote in the article last week, you get these raw, dark, horrific emotions, which all of us experience. But then we learn how to surrender it to the Lord. And these are instructions for us, whether we take it or not, you know. You know, my founding pastor back in Life Church used to say, if you really want to have triumph over the issues in your life and the distresses, read the Psalms. And I agree with that, because we can identify and we can see what we can do and ought to do. That's why in Psalm 4, such a wonderful testimony of the grace of God in the life of David. Let's pray. Eternal Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that this psalm and the principles found therein would be instructions for us to have self-control and to have sanctified thoughts, that we may be able to use them to counsel ourselves. We thank you for your grace upon us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.